series. Oh my God, it has been amazing. Have you been seeing momentum in your life? I know I have. I have. Well, you know, he's been talking about money and our momentum in our money. And so he wants me to stick right around that subject. And today I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what would you want me to name this sermon today? And he says, Polo, call it the pulse of giving. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know that your pulse is showing is shown in your giving? The pulse of giving. I want to come from Matthew 6:21. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I need you to hear me, that where your treasure is, wherever you are putting your money, that is the indication where your heart is. So I want you to say this really loud, like a church that want to get out in 25 minutes. Repeat after me and say, my giving is the window into the condition of my heart. Say it again. My giving is the window into the condition of my heart. See, Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, to guard your heart. For everything, somebody say everything, you do flows from it. Because my giving is the window into the condition of my heart. Now, I need for you, and I really, really, really need for you to understand this right here. That when you make up in your mind that you're going to do something, or you put it in your heart that you're going to do something, you can always find out if you are serious by tracking it with your giving. For an example, some of you crossed over into the new year in 2025. Some of you said, we gonna thrive in 2025. Some of you said, we gonna lose these thighs in 2025. I know I'm in the house. And so we said, Pastor Polo, I'm gonna get in shape. I'm gonna get healthy in 2025. Did anyone else make that declaration this year? Oh, I know y'all lying. Because I saw the gym membership. I'm telling you right now, it done died down now. No, I'm going to get in shape this year, Pastor Polo. I'm going to get this body right. Watch this. Because the Lord is about to send me places, and I have to be healthy in order to do it. Oh, I know I'm in here right now. And so we've been saying that, but if you really want to know how serious you are, show me your bank statements. And when I look at your bank statement, I might see McDonald's 3 times a week. Papa John's 2 times a week. Starbucks, not straight black coffee, no caramel macchiato with all the sugar stirred up in there. You know what typically we don't see? Salada. What we typically don't see? Grass. Because that's really what it tastes like. Because what's in your heart is revealed through the giving. And if you was really serious about it, we would be able to see how serious you were into getting in shape just by looking at your receipts. Woo, preach, Polo. Because where your treasure is, and listen, my heart sometimes be in that junk food. I ain't gonna lie. So let me see your bank statement to prove to me whether or not you are that serious about that. And this is why the Bible is saying, above all else, to guard your heart. Because everything you do flows from it. Now, I'm about to get real deep on you. You ready to get deep? The Greek word for everything is everything. The Hebrew word for everything is everything. If you're from the hood, everything. Hey, I see some of my people like that. I got you. What that simply means is your entire life reflects what's in your heart. Do you hear me? Your entire life reflects what is in your heart, because our giving is the window into the condition of our hearts. And I want you to look at your neighbor this morning, because I'm going to have you talking to that person. I hope you got a mint, because they're going to smell whatever you have been eating. They're going to smell the abundance of your heart. I'm about to have fun this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, your pocket has a pulse and your heart has a flow. Whoa. Whoa. My pocket has a pulse and my heart has a flow. What this is simply mean, it means that your pocket and your heart is forever connected. That's sobering. It sounds good on one end, but then when we start putting this into all the categories of our life, it starts to make us really rethink a lot of things, because your pocket, or ladies, your pocketbook, is forever connected to your heart. Forever. And this is the reason why you must guard your heart. Now, I'm about to prove to you that you already know this. You just haven't thought about it like this. Men, I'm about to give you a chance to score all the points with your lady. He got extra points already. When you really love a woman, it doesn't matter if you have $2.5 million or if you only got $2.50. When you love that woman, she can get it all. I said, when you really love. Key point. Ladies, don't look at your man and don't start asking him, do you love me? Don't do that. We're going to assume the best. He loves you. But it doesn't matter if you have $2.5 million or if you have $2.50. It doesn't matter, because the reality is, when you love that woman, she gets access to all of it. Fellas, don't worry. I'm coming down to women's. I'm coming. But ladies, this is why y'all are so wise, and I peep game. Oh, I peep game. This is why women don't mind cooking and cleaning and serving that dish to you, because she realizes when she start clanking them pots, I'm about to gain access to his heart. Oh, see, this is how I know the difference between the baby boomers, Generation X, Centennials, Millennials, because I heard all the baby boomers and up say amen. I'm trying to give some of y'all Millennials a little. I'm trying to give you a little game there. Listen, when she knows, when she cooks and she start clanking them pots, because the way to a man's heart is through his. Sound like you've been new. You knew this, right? You knew this. But watch this, though. When she start clanking them pots together, she is really over there in that stove saying, and I'm telling you, you're not going. You're the best man I ever known. There's no way I ever let you go. No, there's no way. There's no way I'm living without you. I don't want to live without you. I don't want to be free. So you're going to take these collard greens, mashed potatoes, fried chicken. You're going to love me. I said what I said, I said what I said, I said what I said. Because she realizes, if I get his heart, I get access to everything else. Woo! Everything else. Because your pocket, somebody really, he feel that thing. She got me for everything, and I don't mind giving it. Because your pocket has a pulse, and your heart has a flow. But I want you to see that even God operates by this principle. John 3:16 says, for God so loved heart, the world, that he gave pocket, his only son, all. Woo! So even God operates by this principle. He so loved you that he gave. And I just want to pause right here and say thank you, God, for giving Jesus. Nah, that's cute for you. That's cute for you. Because you don't understand. I was so lost. I was so messed up. I was a wretch. I was a sinner. I was messed up from the flow up. I'm talking about everything in my life was messed up. But he loved me when I was unlovable. And sometimes you need to take a minute and say, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending hope. Thank you for sending love. Thank you for sending joy. Thank you for sending peace. Thank you for breaking the chains that was on my life. Thank you for giving to me when I didn't even know how to give to myself. Thank you. He loved us so much. Loved us so much. He had so much heart that he gave to us. And I need for you to understand this point right here. When we look into the heart of God, we see just how much he loved us by how much he gave to us. Which leads me to this point. 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, each one must, say this word with me, give as he has decided. In his stop, the decision takes place in the heart. Whether you give to God or not, the decision takes place in the heart. Whether you give to your wife or not, the decision takes place. Y'all got me? But this word, decide. The etymology of decide simply means to cut. To cut. And when you think about it, I had to decide between McDonald's and Burger King as a kid. I couldn't have them both. Because mama was not going to get me the fries from McDonald's, although that's what I wanted. And it was something in them flame grill burgers at Burger King. But I had to decide, do I want this somewhat okay burger from McDonald's with these amazing fries and Coke? Or do I want this burger over here that just came off the grill with them sloppy fries? A decision had to be made. Which one are we going to, son? And in the decision, I had to cut off one option in order to pick the other option. Woo! Because the word decide simply means to cut. So this is what I want to bring to your attention this morning by way of question. What's helping you decide, or what's helping you cut your decision in your heart when it comes to giving to God? What tool is being utilized when you are trying to decide whether or not I'm giving to God? I'm about to show you there's only two tools that you can use. The first tool is fear. And if fear is helping you to decide whether or not you're going to give to God, it sounds like this: Lord, I want to give to you, but that utility bill is due. And I'm afraid that if I return this tithe to you that's already yours, I'm afraid that my family's going to be in the dark. We need some groceries. And I'm afraid that if I give you this offering right here, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to feed my child. And I love my child. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I sow this seed for Giving Sunday, that, Father, I'm not going to be able to get that car that I really, really desire and that we really, really need, because I'm tired of Red Ruby just breaking down on the side of the road. I'm tired of that. I'm tired. And I'm afraid to give. And sometimes it's not that we just are rebellious. Sometimes it's just fear that's being utilized as the knife when it comes down to the decision being made. Woo! That's sobering, ain't it? That's why I got y'all laughing at the beginning, because I said it's going to be heavy in the middle. It's fear. When fear is being utilized, I am now making my decisions from a place of fear. But when you make your decision in a place of faith, faith says, no, I'm going to honor the Lord with my first fruits. No, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. So when that check come in, 10% belongs to God. I'm going to figure out whatever else I can give right there. I'm going to give it to God. I'm even going to throw some into Project 360. And my God shall supply all of my needs. See, when you make the decision with faith, faith don't look at the situation. Because fear tells you that there's going to be a rainy day. And fear says, hold on to that money because a rainy day is coming. But faith also says, I need to sow this seed because there are about to be some rainy days. And I got to get this seed out of my pocket and into the ground. Both people are expecting rain. Only one is going to reap a harvest. Oh, if you're a fearful giver, you are expecting rain. That's why you're holding on to it. But if you are a faithful giver, that's why you're sowing, because you know a rainy day is coming. Look at your neighbor and say, I promise you, rain is coming. The question is, do you have seed in the ground or not? Woo! Because whenever you allow fear to make the decision, fear robs from you. You're holding on to what you have, but you'll never get what God was intending for you to have. And so I want you to understand something this morning, is that our giving is the window to the condition of our hearts. I got a big question for you right here. How can God trust us to manage wealth if we can't be trusted managing our hearts? Woo! Boy, listen here. This is heavy. Listen, it's hard to say amen about this, but when we put these type of conversations into relationships, oh, it's easy to talk about it. Oh, if you love me, if Kayla loves me, she'll spend some more money on me. Amen. I deserve it. I'm a good husband. So it says, how can God trust us to manage wealth if we can't be trusted managing our hearts? Now, I want to say something, and this is going to bring clarity to about 50 of you. Because God gave this to me and told me to tell you, 50 of you for sure, that the heart is the battleground for your breakthrough. Your heart is the battleground for your breakthrough. But this is why this season has been so heavy on your heart. See, sometimes God give you prophetic words and he slide it in. You got to be wise enough to catch what he's saying. This is why some friendships been at war with each other. This is why some family been at war with each other. This is why you've been feeling the betrayals. You've been feeling the heaviness. You've been feeling all of these things coming to attack your heart. Why? Because the devil done peeped around the corner and saw that blessings are coming this way to Word of Truth. And so what I got to do now is I got to get them mad with their sister, mad with their brother, mad with their husband, mad with their wife, mad with the people at their job. And if you watch it, if you go back and think about the beginning of this year up until now, there has been a war against your heart. Because the heart is the battleground for breakthrough. And that's why God warned us. He says, above all else, I need for you to guard. That's a military word, guard. Be right here. Guard your heart above all else. No, I like to pray all the time, good, but guard. I read my Bible all the time, great, but guard. And what happens is we get so caught up into our rituals, into our traditions, but we don't do the simple thing that God told us to do. Guard your heart. Because you can know Greek and Hebrew with a bad heart. You can exegete this text from top to bottom with a bad heart. And God says, I need for you to guard your heart above all else. Why? Because if we're going to see this momentum, if we're going to see God bless us, and if we're going to see him take us further and faster, the battleground for our breakthrough is in our heart. So this is why when people hate on you, forgive them. When they betray you, forgive them. You have to see this situation like you are trying to rob me of the harvest that God is about to send in my life. Okay, can I get this? Can I get my example up? Come on, fellas, bring this up because I want to make this very, very clear right here. And while they bringing it up, look at your neighbor and say, I forgive you. And I don't even know what you did. That's how serious I am about my harvest. I forgive you right now for talking about me, and I don't even know what you said. You are already forgiven. Matter of fact, while they setting this up right here, do you know that the word forgive simply means to give pardon before they even do it? Forward. Give. Pardon. I am giving you pardon before you ever betray me. And that's the problem. We don't forgive. I know you're going to be human at some point. You're going to do something that's going to make me upset. And Pastor Petty going to want to come out. But I have made up in my heart. I am going to forgive you. I'm going to give pardon before you ever do it. All right. I got 10 minutes. And here is the reason. Do you ever want to know the reason why the enemy wants to come after your heart? You want to know why? Pastor Jonathan is so amazing because I wasn't going to do this illustration today. Because Little Harvest, my Little Harvest, kept us up. And I didn't feel like putting this thing together this morning. So can we give it up for Pastor Jonathan? Up under here, is a glass. I want you to see this. This glass represents your heart. When you have a glass like this, would you like to drink out of this? I would. It's clean. I can see through it. So if there was anything in the content, I could be able to say, there's something right there. Because this right here represents a pure heart, a clean heart, not a perfect heart, because even this gets dirty sometimes. But it knows how to get into the dishwasher, church, It knows how to come to the dishwasher and say, I'm here for you to clean me with the washing of the word. I get dirty sometimes, but I know how to get clean again. And so this thing right here is in position for a breakthrough and a harvest. But I need you to see this right here. But this one right here. Can y'all see that? This also is a heart. This is also a container, but it's full of offense. It's full of resentment. Your baby daddy don't help you right here. He should be helping you, but you don't know how to forgive him. Baby mama done hit me up for everything. It's your heart. Church hurt. Been wounded all my life, and I don't know how to forgive. This represents your heart. I got a question for you. This represents the abundance of God. This represents the overflow. This represents the blessings that he has in store for each and every one of us. And the Bible says, those of you who are Bible scholars, it says that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Oh, he gonna reign. He gonna reign on both. And I thank God for reigning on both, because one, you know, at one point in time, this was me. I ain't forgot. So, when the Bible says to guard your heart, this is the reason why. Because now, this one has provision to give back to God. So does this one. But you ever wondered why that scripture says, for the Lord loves? Because when we start to give to him with hate in our hearts, when we give to him just as a transaction only, I mean, I'm doing this, God, but I don't know why the church keep asking me for money. Ooh. Who wants this? Who wants it? Maybe this is the reason why he says, I love a cheerful giver. Because when you give to me with a pure heart, Abel, I receive, oh, I take delight. Oh, you showed me honor. Not just by what you gave with your pocket, because the pocket and the heart are forever connected. And whatever is in my heart is connected to my pocket. So this is why some of you can give to people and have a bad attitude and it don't even feel like a gift. Have anyone ever gave to you and it didn't even feel like it was a gift? Because they're going to bring it up. Remember that time I was there for you? Remember that time? Oh! Dirty heart. And so, I can't believe I did this in 25 minutes. This is amazing. Come on, Holy Ghost. So, if I was going to hand this to someone to drink, would you drink it? You want to know why? You have to be a desperate person to drink this. You have to be a person who don't have standards to drink this. You have to be parched to truly drink this. And the God that we serve is not desperate. Matter of fact, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He don't need your water. He don't need your resources. He don't need it. He already got it. Matter of fact, that's how you got what you got. So he's not trying to get something from you. But if you can ever get this, he's trying to get you to become a container that makes him want to pour. Pour more in. Because God is the ultimate steward of finances. He's the ultimate steward of life. And it would be a waste to keep pouring into something that nobody at your church want to drink from. When we serve with a bad heart, if we usher with a bad heart, this is what we present to people. If we serve our husbands and wives with a bad heart, this is what they're drinking. This is what we're offering. When we come to church and don't even want to serve and don't even want to join in, and we have this heart that we are against this and against that, this is what we're offering people. And God says, how can you represent the kingdom if this is what you're offering them to drink? So, Lord, make me like this. Because if I'm like this, my giving will have a pulse that matches God. Because your pocket has a pulse and your heart has a flow. And how you give to God matters even more than what you give to God. So right now, if you don't mind, can you just close your eyes? I really feel like the Lord wants to talk to somebody real quick, because some of you may have had a dirty